Wait a minute, what am I doing? Two men in a what? Two friends from film school, one who graduated, one who did, and they decided to make a podcast. Okay, this has never been done before, right? Okay. This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.
Welcome to the Two Men in a Movie podcast, where each week one man shows another man a movie he can't believe he hasn't seen. As always, I'm your therapeutically renewed, not like emotionally, but my therapy's renewed. Renewed therapeutically? Therapy upgraded.
Therapy upgraded implies that you are seeing a better therapist for you.
I got the new, we installed the new software for therapy.
You're trying a new technique.
My new technique is be more specific in my goals, because I thought a broader goal would be applicable, but apparently I need to be very specific. Joined as always by my, I don't have a counterpart for this, my newly licensed therapist. Friend, Dr. Harrison Poole, my co-host and husband, and also host of Therapy with Dr. Harrison.
Yeah. I haven't been to therapy in like a year.
Well, yeah, well, because you're a therapist. Sure. You're Frasier now.
No, therapists still go to therapy, or at least what? They should. No. Yeah. A lot of therapists still go to therapy because they're also people.
I don't think as the therapist should go to therapy. That's like going to a doctor has to go to the doctor.
Yes, because sometimes you're sick, but also don't just go to therapy when you're sick. Like,
I only go to doctors who never get sick.
Then you never go to doctors.
I just change them frequently.
Okay, so, but I have my first appointment through work next weekend, because my former therapist, who I hope to make my current therapist again, is having licensing renewal issues.
Are you tackling clowns?
No, we're going to tackle the general idea of being in your late 20s and feeling your wheels spinning, but no forward motion.
I think you should also tackle clowns.
I'm good. I interact with clowns so infrequently enough that it is not that big of a part of my life.
But what if we enter like a clown era? Because, like, you know how, like, there's a lot more clowns in the 1920s?
Sure.
Like, they were just more. And then they kind of came back in like the 60s, 70s. You know, they had like Bozo and stuff.
Sure, but you had to seek them out.
Now they're like, they became media.
Then I just wouldn't watch that media.
I'm just worried for you.
I avoided the It movies pretty well.
Yeah, I'm just worried that we're going to enter an era where a lot of things become clown-based.
Okay, we haven't had
like
many.
Most companies switch mascots to clowns. Does Ronald McDonald send you off?
Sometimes. The answer is sometimes.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm worried that we're going to reach a time where it's like Economic Weekly, breaking news, Burger King announces King Clown of Burger Town. And then it's like, next thing you know, Arby's has the clown boy kid, little junior clown with two six-shot revolvers. Yeah. And then it's all downhill from there for you.
Nah, I think I'll be fine. I'm pretty sure we're going to be fine. Like, I don't...
Something I worry about often.
You worry?
I sit on this couch ruminating, fearful for you and in a possible clown-based future. What if we get our first clown president?
Maybe I already have one. No. whatever.
He's a disgrace to the name of clown. I haven't seen him honk his nose once.
But
what would you do if you woke up? Let's say you'd slept through the election somehow. You just weren't paying attention, all right? Things got good enough that you weren't paying attention to politics. Sure. And you woke up on election day, and it's like, oh, time to see who the new president is. And then it's like you turn on the television, it's like CNN or like C-SPAN. And it's like, hi, constituents, honk, honk. Like, what do you do?
Is this a real hypothetical you're asking
me to engage
with?
Yeah, it's a real hypothetical. All my hypotheticals I want engagement with.
Okay, so real talk.
Yeah.
I would probably, I almost certainly would stop watching the news. I would
I'm imagining Psycho Killer playing and you're stumbling out of your house.
As long as no clown-based legislation.
I think there's going to be clown-based legislation. Or rather, his legislation's going to be clown-tinged.
Then I might start looking into getting my passport and move to the UK and become an Edinburgh comedian. just get real good at writing hours every year
and then put up the country.
Yeah. That might be, I mean, I've had conversations with people, but like that might be the thing that actually like
sends makes me you flee the is Dr. like Dr. Tuba phone. Present. I mean, then what would have like? I'm just worried that if you were like people think you're a bigot.
Oh, I am to clowns. I am. I've tried to get this to work on stage and it to mixed results. But I have stated that if my brother were to, my brother is one of my favorite people on this planet, and if he were to tell me that he wanted to join the Ringling Brothers Circus, I would treat him like he just got bitten in the zombie apocalypse.
You'd shoot him.
I would quickly come to terms with that's not my little brother anymore, and I would shoot him in the head. He calls me Clown Hitler.
I mean the way you're describing it,
I don't like them. and if any clowns are listening, I'm sure. See,
that's why I think you need to address this in therapy, the idea that if your little brother showed up with a big red nose and a big red wig and big feet,
but it's not going to happen,
you would immediately dehumanize them.
But it is not a situation that would ever occur.
Yeah,
but and I would never be put in a situation.
There's something in you that's wrong. Like, it's like saying, like, oh man, if my family member became trans, I'd shoot them, but that's never going to happen. It's a possibility, just because it's not likely in your family for there to be a clown.
Okay, but being trans is something clown you are on the inside.
Clown rights is
trans rights. No, it's not. being trans is something that you are on the inside. Being a clown is a choice.
I mean, based on the profiles of the many clown girls I see on dating apps, a lot of them are trans. I think there's a lot of crossover.
And I
there.
Don't care
I think
that
clown rights is trans rights.
I'm happy they're trans. I don't care that they're trans. I do care that they're clowns. Clowns are a deal breaker.
There's
I
so many
never
there's
match
so many women that I'm like, oh, they have like one clown filter picture, and like everything else about them is great. But I swipe left because I'm like, they can never meet Harrison.
If you hooked up with a clown, I would. It might be when KKK member befriends a black person and it like reconstructs their entire ideology. It might be like that. I would 100% be on my best behavior.
Previous idea of Geneva slowly embodying a clown to get you over the fear.
No. I would leave her. I would never date a clown. I would never be married to a clown. I would never live. I would never live my life purposefully with a clown. With that being said, if someone I loved dearly chose to live their life with a clown, then I would be on my best behavior when we go out together and we eat dinner, and I would listen to their demon partner, and I would like hear them out, and maybe over the course of many decades I will be changed.
What if you and Geneva reached a point of destitution and but there was an opportunity for her to take a job that would manage to pay everything just enough that you could get by, and it was a clown job.
Don't bring work home with you. Real talk. It's the same as when I talk about becoming a pastor all the time. Is her thing is do not bring work home with you. It's the same for me. What you do to make money, I don't want to think about.
So fascinating.
But I don't need to deal with this in therapy because I interact with clowns
infrequently. I am so blessed to have a clown-phobic friend. Because, you know, growing up, you think it's something you only see on TV because it's a rarer phobia.
Sure.
It's not like super rare, but it's like rarer than like a type of animal.
Yeah.
Heights. You'll meet too many people afraid of clowns, and then you meet someone who's afraid of clowns and you're like, fascinating.
I forget what the actual phrase is.
Honkphobic.
Sure, yeah, honkophobic.
I just wonder what it is.
I can't actually explain to you, but I think on some level it's an uncanny valley where you almost look human. But you also...
But like, did the cat some cats set you off?
No, not in the same way, but also no, not really. Because that's theater, and I can turn... I think it's because it doesn't feel like theater.
So what if you went to a play that was like Cats, but it was clowns? And obviously, it's called Clowns.
I just wouldn't go to that place.
But let's say you somehow ended up there. That's just, would you be able to rationalize this as this is just theater? If they're not doing clowning, they're like singing songs.
Are they dressed as clowns?
Yeah.
Okay, then probably
it's about
not.
A bunch of clowns who are competing to get on a UFO to go to heaven.
No, I can't do it.
You wouldn't watch an old lady?
Clowns don't go to heaven.
Well, that's why they're competing to get on the UFO.
Oh, okay. So, but either way, no, I don't think I could do it.
You can watch a clown sing Memories?
No. The weird Mr. Cellophane from Chicago did not bother me that much. Though that is very obviously a clown.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it didn't bother me at all. It was weird and it creeped me out, but I was able to separate for that brief one musical number. The clown, the Joker doesn't bother me even slightly. The People's Joker doesn't really bother me a little bit, but like the background characters a little bit, but not really.
The Joker thing is the most fascinating aspect of this for me.
That the Joker isn't a clown?
Yeah. Is it because there's no red nose?
I don't. It's like, not
you,
the
imagine
red
the
nose.
Joker with a red nose. Does that give you the willies?
It's creepier. I'm not. It doesn't give me the willies in the same way, but it's creepier. Sure.
This is what I want to do for your live show. I want to do increments of clown to figure out what the combination. Because there's got to be a combination.
There's got to be like a level. Yeah. Because
we were watching the one video clowning around, and there's a point where you couldn't watch it anymore.
Yes.
You're fine with it to a point.
Yeah.
And then it's like suddenly this is a clown.
Yeah.
Fascinating. I don't have any interesting fears.
I don't even view this as interesting because it doesn't come up that often. Just so you're aware, you're the one who brings it up more
obsessed.
Than everyone
I'm
else in my life.
I'm obsessed with it. It's fascinating.
Most people are just like, okay, and then they move on. Like,
it's fascinating because it's... The thing is, like, let's say you're afraid of dogs, right?
Sure.
A dog's always a dog.
Sure.
A clown, not always a clown, which means there's a point where it becomes fearful, and that's so interesting to me.
It's not always the makeup, also. It's general clowning, like, the art of clowning, I find fascinating, but, like, the clowns that do, like, the BDSM gear shows...
What?
There's this thing, there's this new wave in comedy of young women doing one-woman shows, like... clown shows,
yeah.
Often in BDSM gear. It's about like, and many of them are like about it's not subjugation, but not subjugation, like being controlled. I'm trying to think of an example of one. Vanessa 5000 on Dropout, where she's like the sex robot giving the TED talk, is that's a clown show. Like that is the art of clowning. That freaks me out a lot. I'm more able to watch something like Vanessa 5000, but at the exact same time, I have when I watched that special, I did have a mini panic attack the entire
hour. How do you feel about the clowns rallying against Eisner in Seattle?
They're some of the good ones. A clown.
What about Yo Gabba Gabba?
What are we talking about?
There's a the monster character children's show.
No, I know what Yo Gabba Gabba is. There's a clown in Yo Gabba Gabba.
No, those are people pretending to be someone else to interact with children. I guess what are child entertainers?
It's case by case. It's Yo Gabba Gabba. I have no thoughts on. I would have to watch more. And other than occasionally listening to that My Chemical Romance song when they were on, I don't purposefully watch Yo Gabba Gabba.
How do you feel about Mr. Chuckle Cheese?
Charles Entertainment Cheese?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the basis for Five Nights at Freddy's, so I think that horror speaks for itself. No, I mean, I don't have any.
I mean, that's someone putting on a costume pretending to be a giant rat. Children.
And Mr. whatever his name is, and the owner of Freddy Fazbear's purposefully kidnapped children. So, like... What are we talking about here? Of course, it's a disguise to use so that you can lure innocent
mimes.
Children. Weird. Mimes are weird. I have no
Suck
hard...
a day to mime with no problem?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Except for being French.
No, I mean, sure.
So my
the French aren't all bad.
I have a friend who went to England like last year and came back with a seething hatred of the French.
Because they went to England?
Well, because they were like in all like the tourist groups and stuff. Yeah. So there's like Americans, French, Germans, like a bunch of Europeans.
Sure, sure, sure.
And he said that the tour guy was like, can I get a chip chip cheerio from all my fellow Brits? And they all went chip chip cheerio. He's like, can I get a yeehaw from all my fellow, my our cousins, the Americans? And all the Americans went yeehaw. And he said, I don't care about the rest of you. And he said that he was at the Natural History Museum, like looking at the Parthenon. He's like, this is incredible. I mean, it's stolen, but it's incredible. There's this huge, I mean, it was blown by the Turks. So really, I mean, it's that part, I don't think that was stolen. It should be returned, but it's not like they took it apart and took it back. I think they just picked up the rubble. But it's incredible. It's a cornerstone of what like the Western world considers to be the birth of their version of civilization. And there's a big sign that said like, do not touch in 20 languages. And all the French people kept touching it. And he kept trying to take pictures and they'd get in his way. He said he was on a tour bus in Ireland and they stopped at this place. They're like, all right, we have like 10 minutes. It's not much to do. They just take some pictures. We'll get back on the bus and keep going. And we'll honk the horn when it's time to go. And they honked the horn and everyone got on the bus but the French. And then the guy had to go out and argue with them in French and they wouldn't get back on the bus. And he speaks German. And you overheard this German couple next to him being like, who is it? Oh, of course, the French. So apparently the French like have this reputation in England and Germany as being a very difficult people.
Oh, okay.
He has a very low opinion of the apparently they're not very respectful tourists, which I think I knew.
You just got the vibe?
No, I think that I knew that that's like a thing people say about the French is that they're not respectful of other cultures as much as their own.
I think it's worse if someone is bigoted towards French people than I am bigoted towards clowns, if that makes sense.
So if I had you'd rather, instead of me bringing home a happy person who wants to bring joy into the life who's a clown, you'd rather I bring home a derogatory mime.
First off, yes. But second off, honestly, this comes down to, do they keep their work life
Do
they bring work home with them?
You'd rather my partner not look at you and think, how can I bring joy into this man's life? As opposed to one being like, ugh, filthy American. I put him in the box. I'm making the box motions. It's an audio medium. I put him in the box, which is how mime show displeasure.
So,
to be fair, I will say I'd rather fuck a mime than a clown.
I would hope so. I would hope so.
I want to see them use their mime powers in bed.
I think regardless, it's weird if they are always in that mode. If they can't be like a human, like a Joe Schmo.
A clown is a human. A clown's a human.
Okay.
I've been letting this slide. A clown's a human. I'm a human being. Hong Kong. The clown man.
As long as they can like turn it off. I'm fine with either. And if they can't turn it off, I would rather you fuck a mime.
I will say, I don't like people who are obsessed with clowns.
Yeah.
Being a clown, I'm indifferent towards. Like, there's some clown, I've seen some clown people on date. There's a lot of clown women on dating apps for some reason. And I've seen a bunch of them, and they inspire nothing in me, really. But there was this one whose name was listed as Honk, who is a clown girl. And also, in the background of all her pictures, it looked like a clown museum. And that was like, oh, okay, that's weird.
That's not my worst nightmare, but that's
it's like a
bright
nightmare. Pink room with just like shelves, clowns.
Swipe left.
And I'm like, and her name was like Honk?
Nope, stay away. Be gone, foul spirits.
And that's like possibly the only moment that I could start to understand your position was staring at Honk the clown. I think on Only Cupid.
I didn't know there were, I mean, it makes total sense. I didn't know that there were people who were like obsessed with clowns. I understand, weirdly, I get being a clown girl. But in my head, that's if not a bit, that's like a lifestyle choice. I don't think that like, they do. I don't think that they like clowns in their free time. I just think that like, they like clowns
in a professional manner.
Kind of. even personally, maybe it's they feel like, I don't know, maybe they feel like a clown in their soul. Maybe.
See, what to me is if you're a clown, right?
Uh-huh.
You can take it home with you, but that's because that is a lifestyle choice you're making, right? It's like I'm all about bringing joy. But when you just start collecting clown stuff.
Yeah.
First off, where are you getting it?
It's in a lot of yard sales and flea markets.
Where's it coming from?
It's old, clown ceramics have existed forever.
Yeah, 1920s, there were more clowns. clowns with guns, more or less scary. Because a clown with a gun, less about clowning.
See, that's just two things to be afraid of. So it's more scary, but also. The clown that I envision owning a gun is just a foul beast. is not anyone that I would ever want to be.
I was imagining like red wig, pointy hat, and the clown outfit, and the hat matched yellow blue spots.
Real talk, I was imagining one of the like the big fat zombies from Left 4 Dead.
No, see,
I was imagining just a
clown with a gun.
No, I mean, in my head, I can't imagine like clowns are more demonic than they would appear in other media. Just in my head,
yeah, that's something.
But it's not something I need to deal with.
You imagine like a hot clown? Can you picture a hot clown that you give kisses to?
No. No.
Can you imagine a clown with big honkers? She's squeezing them. It's making the horn noise.
No, thank you. I never want to be. No.
Do they do that in those BDSM shows? They should do that.
What? Like what?
Add some like fake padding to their tits, and then when it squeezes, it honks.
Maybe occasionally.
I think that'd be fun.
I just don't like them. They scare me, and I don't know why I have to interact with them.
I just think you need to examine your bigotry about them.
But like, I have no issue with them as people when they're not in at work. They're humans. I just don't like their profession. I don't even know if it's bigotry because it's I'm fine with them. I'm fine with them outside of work. I just don't like their job. Is it bigotry if it's a profession? No. It's bigotry if it's like a societal group of people.
You can't picture a clown that's a friend.
No, I mean, let me put it this way. If a clown and I were kicking the shit out of an ICE officer together, they would be a friend. We would never talk about their work life, but they would be a friend. And maybe someday...
Would you accept a balloon animal from them if they offered one?
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe someday... They can open my world into accepting the whole of their profession.
Brokeback.
Clownton. Get out of my house. No, not sexually. I'm very happy in my relationship, but like
it's gonna be devastating when someone reveals to you that this entire time Geneva's been a clown.
I will feel like I've been lied to. I don't know. I don't know how I will. How
you're
I would
clean
react.
The house, and you're gonna find the secret panel in the closet. You know, there's the clown costume, like the comedian in Watchmen. How long, Geneva?
But real talk, like jokes aside, clowns are people. I have no real issue with them as people. They just scare me. The job of clown, the makeup and the faux.
I like your wiggling.
Clown
wiggling you're doing.
The faux uncanny valley of what they're doing is creepy and scary. And I saw it at 6 years old and it reminds me of that. So like I don't want to interact with them. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. I have no issue with them as people. I just don't like their job. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's wrong. People cannot like my job all they want.
You're like Chucky on the Rugrats and he ate clowns.
I don't know. Maybe.
You know, watch the Rugrats?
Not in the last 10 years.
Pretty sure he ate clowns. And he, like, killed a clown doll. I think that was that episode was that there's a clown doll. He ends up, like, killing it and seen as a great victory.
He's a doll, sure. I'm fine with that. I'm not okay with killing clowns because they're clowns. Like, the day the clown cried, I don't know what that's about. I don't fully know what that's about, but I assume that...
If you've ever wanted to watch a movie like I do, where you watch a clown make a child smile as he walks into a gas chamber, the day the clown cried's for you. God, I want to bring it on this podcast. God, I just want to see it.
Why?
I'm obsessed with the idea that it got made. That someone said, hey, I have a pitch for a movie. It's about a clown who gets sent to, like, the Holocaust. He's in the Holocaust. He gets sent to a concentration camp. He decides to use his clowning abilities to make it less miserable for the children there. So, like, is this a Holocaust comedy? That isn't... No, it's a tragedy. It's a very deeply drama-based movie about a clown who's used by Nazis to get children to go into gas chambers against his will. That's what the movie's about.
Okay.
And it's also because it's like forbidden fruit that no one can see it. That it, because they got made and the people went, oh my God, we can't release this. It'll ruin everyone involved's career forever. We will not recover from this as people.
When it enters the public domain,
it's coming soon.
I don't think for the pod, but I am willing to hear out a possible group viewing.
Why can't we do it for the pod after the viewing?
Because I don't want to live in that world for an extended period of time. I don't want to deeply extrapolate like fear of dying in the Holocaust and fear of clowns professionally.
God, we'll make a special episode. Be just me and another person. A Harrisonless episode. The day the Harrison cried is what we'll title it.
So it's a theater episode. It's a special episode again.
A special episode with your special movie boys.
We went live to the theater.
Live from the theater.
Well, unfortunately not.
They're asking us to leave so they can clean. And we said, no, we have to make a podcast.
No, we're recording. We saw this Sunday and it is Wednesday. We are recording this. Also, I'm pretty sure this episode comes out on my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Sure. But this is an accidental.
Happy 32nd birthday.
Absolutely. This is an accidental birthday episode. And what a movie. What a movie to have watched for it. If you can't tell,
be sure to listen to our X-Men First Class episode so you can learn to mel.
If you can't tell by the title, we watched Tron Ares. It's the third and seemingly final.
I know, Tron. The final Tron they will ever make.
At least theatrically, I think. I do have a feeling that if we get another one, it's not going to be released in the theaters. It'll be a Disney Plus exclusive, like, TV movie, which is a bummer. Because this movie's been getting a lot of hate. Most of it deserved.
I recently saw that someone said, it's not Jared Leto. You could put fucking Ryan Gosling in this movie and it wouldn't make its money back. That was an article I read today.
Tron Legacy didn't really make money, did it? Like, I think it just barely made its budget back.
I think it zeroed out.
Because this had a small, had the same budget. Tron Legacy made double its budget, which means it broke even. This isn't even going to make its budget back.
No.
Which is kind of a shame because, listen, is
it... Between this and Doomsday, Disney's going to be having a bad financial year.
Is it good?
Yes.
Debatable. Did I like it? Yes.
What about it is bad?
I think it is kind of boring for large chunks. I think it says nothing, which I'm fine with. I'm fine with blockbusters saying nothing if you're like an excellent blockbuster. Also, it's Tron. I'm not going in for like deep philosophical whatever, but also accidentally Tron and Tron Legacy do say things about like what it means to be human.
You know, I will say the one, it doesn't have a hot computer I could fuck in this one.
No, it does not have. I mean, you wouldn't sleep with Athena?
No, my type. You know, she doesn't have any humanity really to her. That's her character. So she's more program.
And Greta Lee's Eve is all human.
Is all human, as opposed to Quora.
This movie.
Also, Athena's a fascist.
Sure.
Yeah.
I will say, before we get into really anything, your level of enjoyment for this movie is very correlated to your tolerance and enjoyment of Tron bullshit. And this movie really stretches your...
You gotta love Tron to like this movie.
You have to deeply love
Tron. You would have
Tron.
To want to fly down day one to experience the new Tron world at Disney World, where you can get kisses from Korra on the Kisses from Korra yeah. ride.
This movie definitely stretches what Tron can be and is, while also doing and saying nothing.
I think it did finally say that they do shit.
Kind of.
He bleeds.
Yes. But they also, did they show, maybe he bleeds, does he need to eat? Like, if he doesn't need to eat, then he doesn't shit.
I assume he's to replenish the blood.
I mean, you would think so.
I mean, I'm leaning towards Korra takes fat shit, so that's what the movie's telling me.
Okay. So.
Or maybe they come out as cubes. Little cubes.
So, anyway. There are parts of this movie that are very, very, very fun. There are parts of this movie that feel like decent tech demos and fun music videos for a Nine Inch Nails album. A very weird Nine Inch Nails album, which is not as good as the Daft Punk album.
Yeah, because Daft Punk makes Tron music.
But it's not bad. It's pretty solid overall. This movie had the opportunity, in a way that the other movies didn't, to really make a cultural statement about AI. And they didn't, but they also didn't say nothing.
Yeah.
They just said nothing of substance.
They said don't use it for war.
But maybe for medical, maybe?
I mean, that's something I generally agree with, is that, you know, a lab using an AI to sort through like thousands and thousands and millions of genes that just it would take a human forever to go through, using like a server on site is a good use of the technology and doesn't negatively affect our society in a way that depriving an entire town of water so some fuck in the Midwest can be like, why are flamingos pink, Grok?
But also it is kind of saying that AI developing free will is a bad thing for bad people and a good thing for good people.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's just true. You know, I think bad people having free will is bad. Well, good people having free will is good.
And AI having free will depends on who their boss is?
No, because Ares' boss is bad, but he's good.
But his new boss becomes Eve, temporarily. Or at least, like, they strike up a deal. And Ares...
I think him becoming a person allows him to make the choice not to be bad.
Maybe.
He can defy his programming.
But also, he's the only... It's so weird that he's the only one. Like, not the only one who chooses.
Well, I think he's
the only one who seems to have the capacity to
he's
choose.
He's the most advanced.
But Athena is just as advanced as him.
I don't think she is.
When she becomes the new person in charge, it's like...
It's not like he wrote up the new code. I think... And you kind of see that in how she acts. She's not as advanced. Because he constantly says Ares is the most advanced program.
He also then believes that Athena has the capacity to destroy Ares. And so he then has to believe that Athena is more cutting edge. Or makes Athena more cutting edge. Or in the tech thing, Athena is also there. Is he calling Ares Ares or is it the Ares program?
I think Ares.
Okay. Because Athena is also a part of the Ares program.
I think. But also, I think that he thinks that Ares has lost his edge by being able to choose to be good. He's a corrupted program, so that's why Athena can defeat him.
This movie has some really fun moments. It is the definition of turn your brain off.
No, I was fully engaged. All my mental faculties were deeply involved. I was on the verge of having a stroke.
Like, let it wash over you. I'm not saying don't engage with the piece of media and what it is saying.
Don't go and see this movie without...
It's saying some weird things.
You have to read all of Descartes before seeing this movie if you really want to understand
That's exactly what... You don't need to read Descartes to, like understand
Trump.
I think in a way that you don't... I will say, in a way that you don't... have to have seen Tron to enjoy Tron Legacy. I do think you have to have seen Tron Legacy.
You have to have seen Tron Legacy
to enjoy Tron.
To enjoy this movie, you need to understand all the great philosophers of our society. You need to understand history, biology, psychology.
No, you need to have a basic understanding of what Tron is and what Tron says generally. Like, for all, as much as empty as it can be, Tron Legacy does have a lot to say about, like, about free will and choice and humanity and what does it mean to be human and, like, what does it mean to be human when you're outside of, a group. But, like, this movie tries to say things like that. And I don't think Jared Leto at all sells them.
John, Jared Leto successfully sells to me the idea of someone trying to be human.
No, that's, yes. But he doesn't successfully sell that he means anything he says.
That's why you have Jeff Bridges.
I heard that Jared Leto tried to go method on this set, on the Tron Ares set.
Like he tried to crawl inside a computer?
No, he didn't break character and he made everyone call him Ares. And like acted as Ares. And Jeff Bridges refused to play along. And the reason that he gave was because Jeff Bridges created the grid, therefore he created the world Ares lives in, and he would view Ares as a program, another program, and he is human and God amongst them. And so he would not refer to Jared Leto as Ares. He could call Jared Leto whatever the hell he wanted.
That's pretty good. Jeff Bridges rocks. Jeff Bridges rocks. Is like, I'm not going to engage with your method acting because I'm about to method act. Also, pretty tame method acting, actually.
For all things, he didn't mail dead rats to anyone.
That's pretty, like, tame method.
Thing. Yeah. Jeff Bridges
rules. That's the reasonable version of method acting.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
He's like, I'm just not going to break character and refer to me as my character name.
Also, a reason I don't think that this movie works generally is if you removed Tron from this movie, if it was just a different sci-fi, like, action-y whatever, I would not like it as much. I probably would not really like it at all. But because it's Tron, and the world has already, like, trained me for bullshit and utter plot nonsense, I have grown okay with it. Which, this movie plays on, I mean, because there are now two, but this movie plays on the existing media more than Legacy did.
Yeah.
Where I feel like Legacy works outside of being a Tron movie.
That's because in the first 5 minutes, they summarize the entirety of Tron. He tells the entire story of Tron to his... the flashback.
But then this movie tells the entire, like, what happens after Tron Legacy, and, like...
Yeah, but it doesn't really explain what happens in Legacy.
I mean...
The most we get is... Everything it talks about is after Legacy.
Yeah, but it kind of...
It says, Sam left.
Did it... No, it didn't. They don't mention that Korra was special.
No, they
special
just say,
one
who's
the
mystery woman? Which is a crazy headline to have about someone's girlfriend.
Yeah, 100%.
Who is this mystery woman? She's so mysterious, I don't know her.
This movie really wants a sequel, and it's not get. This movie ends not on a cliffhanger, but like it, where you can tell it wants a sequel, and it's not going to get one.
A sequel.
It should. It should not follow Jared Leto. It should follow a completely different group of people, and Jared Leto is another character.
Bring back Cora.
I agree. It should follow Sam and Cora, and then Jared Leto shows up.
Yeah.
This movie's stupid.
This might be the most intelligent movie that's come out this year.
Shut the fuck up. Shut the absolute fuck up.
I think it has a lot to say about, like, religion and free will.
This movie,
and the implications of technology in our society.
This movie
also, it even touches on, like, what does it mean to be a parent, and what happens when your child. What does it mean when your child goes against everything you built? There's themes of that in there.
But Tron Legacy also did. That's what Tron Legacy's about.
This movie is so infinitely deep,
and it does it better. Also,
if you were to make a novelization of this movie, it would have to be a 10-book series.
This movie, by the way, it's not awful. If we're grading, it's story-wise, it's not great. If, like, structurally, if we're talking about it, it's boring for long stretches and really excited for short bursts. And characters say things that don't need to be said that, like, an audience can just infer. This movie often breaks the show-don't-tell rule, mostly with Hasan Minhaj. Character, the CTO, the tech guy,
yeah,
who has the corner office. Half of his dialogue could be cut. Like, half of his dialogue is just the, like, when are you gonna call? We missed you. This is our biggest night, Eve. Like, it's just one of those where it's like,
well, that's just how tech bros talk.
You can kind of infer that. That being said, keep the line, that's why I have the corner office. That's a brilliant line.
There's a lot of, honestly, this movie's top 10 of all time, just for listening to Aries talk about, like, Hondas and Depeche Mode. Just these segues into Depeche Mode alone elevates this movie to a level. This electronic pop band from the 80s. It is this fucking segue.
I think he's better than Bach or Mozart, yeah, or whatever the hell, the Beethoven or whatever. And then at first he's able to, like, explain. That's also when he's able to, like, explain to it analytically when he's still an AI existing in the real world. But when he tries to be a human, he, yeah, can't explain it analytically because it's all
I do really like those. I really like those scenes as a way to be like, this is a program and it works so fucking well.
Yes.
Say what you will about Jared Leto. His performance as an AI is great.
I don't like
just the way he turns and goes, classic.
I think his performance, yes, his performance when he's interacting with people, great. His performance when he's alone and not acting against anyone, or he's acting against, like, the voice, absolutely.
Which, to be fair, he's fantastic in Blade Runner 2047, and that's because all the scenes are him directly interacting with people.
He's good in, he's great in Panic Room. Like, Jared Leto can act. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying he can't.
I think he's best when he's acting against, like, a real person.
Yeah, he just doesn't. He can't sell, or at least in whatever I've seen him in, he can't sell you the character, but he can, like, play the character,
yeah,
which also, that's a hard thing to do. I'm not saying he's a bad actor because he can't do that, but, like, it's so when this movie works, it works, and it works best when it's stupid and it's a Tron movie. Everything in the grid, and I mean everything in the grid except for Jared Leto acting against the voice, is excellent. More grid in this movie, please. Because it's like 20 minutes,
yeah,
of
but
this almost 2-hour movie.
This movie's about the grid coming out. That's the whole conceit of the movie, is that now they're in our world. That's the whole conceit of the movie.
But I want to see more of the internal, like, how I want to see more of
I
the internal
I want to see more
world
of the grid in the, yes, world. We didn't get enough. When the fucking recognizer is just flying through a city, fucking fan. That's what I came to see.
Yes, 100%.
I came to see Tron in the real world.
I came to, sure, or yes, or have more Tron in the real world. I do not give a shit.
This movie would have been better if it was rated R.
Maybe.
If I could see, like, a cop get cut in half by an identity disc.
I do not care about either the protagonist nor the antagonist of this movie. I watched Tron.
The antagonist is incredible, though.
He is. Evan Peters, excellent.
Once again, knocks it out of the park.
Yes. But I don't care about his story, and I don't care about Greta Lee's story. I go to Tron to see Tron. And also, this movie doesn't have Tron in it, and it's a misnomer. And I know that they have to call it Tron because that's the name of the franchise, but
Tron's dead.
They misrepresented. But also, Tron's a program. He could have regenerated. Flynn could have made another one. But I wanted to see more Grid, and I wanted to see more Tron in the real world. I actually wanted very little plot. Tron Legacy works because, one, all of the plot is like integrated into the cool tech demo world, but also because it's simple and it doesn't get in the way of anything, and you could kind of, it's almost non-existent. like what is the plot of Tron Legacy?
The plot of Tron Legacy is as such.
He gets sucked into a video game to go after his dad.
Oh, Tron Legacy. The plot of Tron Legacy is the plot of Tron.
Yes.
The plot of Tron Ares is pretty simple, too.
But
the plot of Tron Ares is the good company wants to make programs into food people can eat.
But
the bad company, let me finish. The bad company wants to make programs into weapons of war. They are thwarted because it's missing the special line of code.
The permanence code.
Yeah, the special line of code that when you put in a program means it doesn't fall apart when you bring it into the real world, which I presume is something like end date equals no. But they can't find it because it just says end date equals 29 minutes after. And they're fighting to find this code, which God made. Computer God made. And then the good company finds it, but the bad company, it commits war crimes to get it. And that's the plot.
It expects me to care, though.
You don't care about feeding the hungry?
I don't care about... I don't care
you
about
see
Eve
a, you
Kim.
See a future where fucking Israel can cut Palestinian children in half with identity discs, run them over in light bikes.
That's not what I'm saying, and you know it's not what I'm saying. Shut the fuck up, you pedantic ass.
I was on the edge of my seat praying for all the poor, weak states of the world that they would not be subjugated to the recognizer.
No, you weren't. You were laughing at the recognizer with me. But is so what little plot there is in Tron Legacy, I care about because it's characters that I know existed. And Tron gets away with it because Jeff Bridges is the most charismatic man in the world.
Really, he does nothing in that movie.
Outside of the only other person who could play that role is Kurt Russell.
He literally is the third most important character in the movie. He does absolutely nothing in that movie.
But he sells everything about this movie. And Tron Legacy, Garrett Hedlund does a decent enough job of selling his role
it's also held up by Martin Sheen and Cora. Sheen and Cora do...
Yeah, they do the bulk of the heavy lifting.
Besides Jeff Bridges. There's Jeff Bridges, Martin Sheen and Cora are why that movie works.
So I think also, yes, they try and make Ares a dual protagonist, but Ares is not a interesting enough character to carry the movie, and you don't have a Martin Sheen or a Cora. Again, the best part of this movie is Jeff Bridges, and he's in 5 minutes of it.
It hurts not having other fun program characters.
The movie suffers from not having program actors hold up the movie. For as much as I don't know the name of the actress who plays Athena, but as much as like the actress who plays Athena
his buddy
tries,
that gets killed played by Cameron, what's his name, of Gotham and Jedi Knight Outcast fame.
The phone's not working.
The issue has no. Every other Tron had sensuality too.
Had what?
Sensuality.
Yes.
There's Tron and his girlfriend is the AI that looks like his girlfriend, his ex girlfriend.
Yes.
In the first one, there's Core in the second one. There's no sensuality in this one.
No, they like almost half try to imply Athena as like a jealous ex-girlfriend type thing, or like she yearned for Tron until Tron whatever, but then they completely get rid of that, and also it wasn't sold well. It was just like, I think that's kind of what they were going for.
They should have did they should have had the dude and his mom hooking up.
Evan Peter, yeah. Julian and his, no, absolutely not.
Really sell that I shouldn't like this company.
There's no even, and I know because it's because he only exists for 29 minutes at a time, but there's no real like Ares and Eve going on anything, like going on an adventure, or like Ares and Eve like figuring stuff out together. Because they put a weird arbitrary rule so they can have a stupid MacGuffin that doesn't do anything. Like, doesn't move, doesn't really.
Well, you need the code. You need the secret code. Falls apart equals no.
I think I've gone on record earlier, but I like this movie. I liked this movie quite a bit. It is the most frustrating Tron movie, because I would argue that the first two Tron movies are good. I think they're stupid and they're nonsense, but they are accidentally really good. I don't think this movie is good, but I also think the stupid nonsense works. It's just the rest of it is boring. I will buy this movie on Blu-ray.
I was edge of my seat.
The entire runtime?
The entire runtime.
Okay. I was next
I went to you. I went to sleep afterwards that night and only dreamed of Tron.
So I want this, it's so complicated, because I want this movie to be good, because it's getting the same reviews. This is also a frustrating thing. This is getting the same reviews, basically, or that Legacy got, that also that the original Tron got. But I think Legacy is kind of a masterpiece. Like, unironically, I think remove Tron from it, and that movie still works.
Tron Legacy got the little Disney plastic men.
Yes, but Tron Ares doesn't function as a movie. Tron Ares is two different movies competing against each other.
You say that, but wait till this Halloween when every kid is dressed up as Ares from the
Hell yeah, now. Dude. And that's going to be awesome. Like, I've loved this franchise for 15 plus years. Like, I want it to continue. And I want shitty sequels. And I want, like, an expanded everything. Like,
the return of Master Control.
Yes, 100%. I want a stupid Master Control one season show. Like, unironically, I think that would be so fun. I want Tron to get the love that Star Wars does, unironically. But like, that doesn't mean that I want them to be shitty.
Adam Driver is Tron.
Yes. Yes. Like, this movie gives me every... Also, all of my complaints about this movie, I don't care. This movie gave me everything I wanted, because it gave me Tron. All this movie needed to do was give me the Tron feeling. And this movie gave me the Tron feeling for, like, huge chunks of it. Especially the end with the recognizer outside, and like the fighter planes fighting the recognizer and getting sliced by the cycle light.
It was so good.
When this movie is a stupid Tron movie, it rips. It's so good. When this movie is a music video for Nine Inch Nails, for a Nine Inch Nails album, it's great. When this movie tries to be a movie, it's not good. It's confused. It doesn't really say anything straightforward, but it also isn't like saying anything subtly. Like, It's when this movie isn't Tron, it's borderline not unwatchable. It's very watchable, but it's very not fun. And Tron is fun. Tron is supposed to be fun. But also when it gives me Tron, I'm a happy camper, buddy. I'm a giggling little middle school, elementary school boy again.
I think we should have seen entire regiments of the National Guard wiped out by the recognizer.
Or make it PG-13, but have that anyway. Don't make it bloody.
It needed more just computers just massacring people.
It kind of did. But also, I understand that it's a children's movie. But and for as much as Disney makes military propaganda, you can't really have the police be ineffective. The police need to almost always be able to handle every threat, or the threat that it needs to be able to handle is connected to the U.S. military in some way. It should have been the U.S. military versus Tron.
That's what I'm saying.
And I don't think it needed to be R. I don't think it needed to be more, because the parts of it that are there fucking rule.
I'm announcing this podcast. I was picked to make the next Tron movie. Tron End Times. And it's going to be, what if the grid started to replace our world? And there's going to be a lot of big U.S. military versus the grid scenes.
I will say
there's
that
a
this
15-minute
movie,
sex scene with Korra.
This movie gave me computers being computers. It gave me the really stupid, remember when computers would just say they're, like... When it's having, like, the loading screen and it, like, loads into an arrow.
Yeah, that's how computers work.
Yeah, absolutely. It gives me a little of that. It has the board that he can just, like,
into. That's how I do my job. It looked a lot like my job, where I type, like, invoice equals complete. Please respond.
So if I were to rework this, first off, it's too long at 2 hours. Tron Legacy works because most of it's in the grid and it's fun to watch. This movie needs to be 100 minutes at most. Cut 20 minutes out of this movie. Almost all of the things that should be cut are from the story of the most of Eve's story. But I would say,
you
Julie,
would make this movie great cutting out the woman of color.
I would say Julian's, but like
but he's the white man.
No, but you can't. He has no story. His story is that he's the grandson and he's evil. It's like he has no. Also, he's directly connected to the Tron world in a way that Eve isn't. I'm not saying all of Eve's story. Honestly, it would be almost all of the side characters.
Really, Tron End Times, where the main character it's almost going to be Cloverfield-esque. It's going to be found footage.
Okay.
Yeah. But the monster's like a recognizer.
But I would actually say something about AI if I could rework the movie. I would actually have it make a definitive statement.
Mine's going to say even less about AI.
I would either make a definitive statement or not bring it up at all. Make the baffling decision to not even kind of mention it. And I know that in today's world climate where sci-fi is becoming real, that's the wrong decision. But I think it's better than what they did. As much as Tron doesn't make definitive statements, it makes like statements on humanity and like program, and you can make those statements with AI other than do not use for war. Like what does it mean when AI gained sentience and free will?
I think the messaging was powerful. I did drive past the Plantier building once, so maybe that's why I connect to this, because I saw a building and said they're making AI soldiers in there.
I don't think we're going to get another Tron, and that's really sad. Or we're not going to get, at least not get another Tron theatrically, and that really is upsetting. I think when Jeff Bridges dies, there is no more Tron. I don't care if you ended it on a cliffhanger. It's done. Unless you have all of his parts filmed for a final already existing, it's
Disney has a vault where they have 50 movies worth of Jeff Bridges.
But do not Carrie Fisher like the last Jedi and whatever that last movie is, and like you had part of her filmed and you just have to edit around. Like, and I'm not saying it Star Wars should have died with Carrie Fisher. I do think there was a way, it had the perfect way of sending off her character and then was just really weird about it. And anyway, not the point. This is not a Star Wars podcast. This is a Tron podcast.
We're making it a Star Wars and Tron podcast. No more movies after this.
Okay, sure. I know. I have no desire to do a Star
We're
Wars
alternating.
Podcast.
Alternating. Harrison's weeks will be Tron. My weeks will be Star Wars.
I have no desire to talk about Star Wars.
Next week, we're talking about jizz. The deep history of jizz in the Star Wars universe.
Anyway, I don't know where I was going with this. Other than Jeff Bridges rips in this movie. Evan Peters rips in this movie. Gillian Anderson. Anyway, the mom. She's great in this movie. Greta Lee, for the part she's given, is solid as Eve. Jared Leto was Jared Leto. He's fine. Jared Leto's fine. That's the bulk of my feelings.
10
about
out
this.
Of 10.
6 out of 10.
This movie is better than Avengers Doomsday is going to be.
Do you want to do socials?
Yeah. If you want to send me any ideas for Tron End Times, I will not pay you for them and I will steal them. But you can send those to twomenmoviepodcast@gmail.com. Also, just bring it back up. Still accepting Quora fan fiction. If you want to send me any concept art you might have for Tron End Times, I will steal it and not pay you. Twomenmoviepodcast@gmail.com. Go like and subscribe to our YouTube, Two Men and a Movie Podcast on YouTube, where I will be dropping the first release, the teaser trailer for Tron End Times. I got that in my contract. You think we're going to Disney, but I'm a pretty smooth talker. If you want to see behind the scenes of Tron End Times, you can follow me in Midwestern Square Magician, where I'll be sure to behind the scenes, daily updates, some features, some interviews with the actors, trying to get Florence Pugh, obviously. I mean, should know that by now.
You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and Lemonade at harrisonpoole.com. That's HARRISONPOOLEDOTCOM, harrisonpoole.com. Or you can follow me on Letterboxd at HDPOOLE124, where I gave this movie 3.5 stars, and I don't regret it.
I like this movie
quite a bit.
In Fortnite. As part of the Tron End Games release.
You're going to make me a Fortnite character?
Yeah, I am stealing your image without compensation to make you a program just as an excuse to put you in Tron in Fortnite, a game I do not play.
Me neither. Thank you to Tristan Hostetter for our theme music. Make sure you check out his bands, Natural Health and Tonight with Vince. Thank you guys for listening.
They will be providing the soundtrack for Tron End Games.
tune in next week for Trick or Treat year 2.
Yeah, year 2. The question remains, does Harrison like Halloween? We'll find out.
No, it's does Harrison like this movie?
We'll find out if he likes Halloween this year.
All right. I think that's it. So long and good night.
Hugs and kisses.
This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.